Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and this is a really special show. I am in South Africa at the International Quilt Convention Africa, and I'm here with Jennifer Keltner, our editor from American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine. And the really cool thing is that we are able to spend some time here in the show I'm teaching. And Jennifer, you have been doing several things here at the show. Why don't you tell
me? We have a booth here that in the vendor hall where we've been introducing the American Patchwork and Quilting brand to South African quilters, and that's been great fun. We know from our research at the office that we have a lot of South African quilters who go to allpeoplequilt.com and who take our newsletter, but they haven't really been exposed to Quilts and More or American Patchwork and Quilting brands before. So we're introducing that here and also doing some lecturing on creativity and some inspiration shows as well.
The great opportunity we have is not only to meet the quilters who come to the show, and it's pretty exciting because it's the first big show, but it's exciting for us to meet the teachers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm really excited because we have Wilma DeBeer here, and she is a teacher who has a really wonderful style. We had a chance to just see her quilts. So thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Now, what part of South Africa do you live in?
In Benoni, so it's very, very close to Joburg Airport.
Yeah, so right where we are.
Yeah.
Local. Now, we were talking earlier, and one of the most interesting things is you are pretty much a full-time quilt teacher a shop.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that and the shop that you work at.
Okay, so we've got a shop that sells all the fabrics, all the threads, everything you need for quilting. We also do hand embroidery. Mm-hmm. So we teach people to hand embroider as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I do.
And your classes, though, are every day.
Yes, yeah.
Morning and evening.
Yes, yeah. Morning and afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Afternoon. Okay, so
yes,
there's no
afternoon.
Evening.
No.
So you get to go home in the evening.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So, Wilma, I think our listeners would be really interested to know how classes are set up here because it's a little bit different in Johannesburg than you would find it in most U.S. cities.
Yeah.
Explain that to us.
Well, what I do is I've got space for 10 students in my class, and they choose any project they would like to do. And, yeah, so it's all a mixed class. You would find maybe two people doing the same project. Sometimes there's even seven doing the same, but most of the time there's about two doing the one, three doing a different one. So, yeah.
And how many days a week do you teach?
I teach Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The morning from 9:30 until 12:30, afternoon from 1:30 until 4:30. So it's 2 3-hour sessions.
Four days a week?
Yes.
And your classes
five days a week.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
How many students will you have a month then?
I've got about 170 on my books.
100
each month.
170. This is a full-time teaching job.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
so extraordinary. Mm-hmm. It's like open sewing.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're also a designer.
Yes, I design my own quilts.
Yeah. And we had a chance to see them. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of really interesting sort of little techniques that do a lot of texture things.
Yes.
What are one of your favorites or maybe one of your students' favorites?
Oh, I would say the flowers. I've made flowers where I literally looked at a real flower and I said, okay, how can I put this out in fabric so it looks like an actual flower? So if a sunflower has got seeds, I would make the fabric look like seed. Either cut it or weave it or glue it or put beads underneath it to get it to pad up and do loose little petals and yeah. So if a rose has got thorns on, I'll make thorns on. If a sunflower has got little, like hairy stem, I'll try and figure out a way to get the fabric to look like a hairy stem. Yeah, so most realistic. I love detail. So the more realistic, the better.
That's awesome. Yeah. One of the things you mentioned there was putting thorns on the stem.
Yes.
Can you describe to our listeners how you do that?
What I do is I would iron a basic, like an applique stem on the fabric, and then I take a blind hem stitch by machine. Then I sew the blind hem stitch backwards so that the straight edge catches the fabric and then the spiky bit makes thorns on the stem of the rose.
I love that. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. When I saw your quilt with that on it, At first I thought, it's amazing. Then I thought, why did I never
it's
think of that? It is simple, but it's great because it looks exactly like thorns and it was perfect. Mm.
And didn't you also use variegated thread on one of them?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And so that was really pretty because that particular quilt had a dark background.
Yes, got a
so
dark background.
It just draws you in. Mm. And you kind of like to do that, don't you?
Yeah. I love detail. And the more I'm Mrs. Pfeff. The more you can put on a block, the more I'll do. So I love detail. I love adding extra little bits, things that you can fold over and find beads underneath or something. Still visible because you're not going to do all that effort and not see it.
Right.
But I like little interesting. It creates a conversation piece. Mm-hmm. Like especially the quilts I do would be a wall hanging. You won't put it over a bed because once the dogs get on it, you'll be very sorry about it. So I do wall hanging. So as your visitors come and visit, they've got something to talk about and look at something that's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked your sampler that you had. It had a lot of different techniques in sort of an asymmetrical setting.
Yes.
What made you decide to put that kind of a format rather than a traditional, single block, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think sampler quilts are so boring. That's the personal. Really, 12-inch blocks with a 2-inch sash. So everybody can do it. So I took the traditional techniques like your dress and plate, grandmother's flower garden, cathedral window, Ohio store, variable store, all those basic traditional techniques and make like a 6-inch block next to a 10-inch block with a little 4-inch one to fit in between. Mm-hmm. So it makes it a picture. It's not just a structured thing that goes over a bed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had applique on that and piecing. So that's one of the quilts that people learn to quilt.
Yes.
They make that as their beginner quilt.
Yes, I'm very big on technique. Mm-hmm. If I can show you 10 techniques in 3 hours, I'll do it. Because that's what you pay for. That's why you come. So I would like to go, let somebody go home and say, oh, I've learned so much today. Mm-hmm. Not just sit with one little block and think, okay, what did I do for 3 hours? So the more I can tuck in, and also you learn to read the students. You can see, okay, this one can get a bit more information. This one I'll show next week.
Yeah.
You get to read them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, how do your students like the format of all different projects in one class?
They love it.
Do they?
Because now she's saying she's making a dress and plate, and that person does a chenille quilt. Then they all gather around the table and say, okay, what is she doing there? So you pick up little extra things, and they would say, oh, Vanna, please just repeat that again. And I would happily repeat it to them again. And so you learn more than what you would, So I'm free with giving out information. Yeah, maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot, but no.
Well, I think it's interesting. You told us also that your classes have been busier since you made the decision.
Yes. Because to wait for 10 people who want to do that specific course takes long. Sometimes it fills up and you've got 15, but otherwise it just hangs. So as soon as I've opened it up and said, okay, everybody come, because everybody's different. They've got a different style. They've got different tastes. This one makes them want to make a baby quilt. This one needs a wedding quilt. So now you can accommodate everybody in the same class.
So is your store that you work at very – what's the name of the store that you work at?
Spinnerin.
And is it very busy all the time?
Yes, it is. Yes.
So the quilters here just love to come in and hang out?
Yes. We've got a lovely tea garden outside, so they come for tea and cake, and they do their classes and stay for lunch, and so they make a day of it. Yeah.
I'm ready to make a day of it.
Yeah. I think we should be moving there, just so you had some other interesting techniques that I wanted you to share the woven because you used it more than once. Weaving the fabric strips.
Yes.
How do you do that?
So what I do is I cut a strip of 7/8 strip. And if your seam allowance is 1/8, then you end up with a 1/4-inch strip. Then I've got something that you call a loop turner. It looks like a knitting hook that you insert into the strip. You hook it and then you pull it. So you turn it inside out. And I don't know if you know what a cable tie is.
Yes.
It's a little plastic thing that you wrap with.
Oh, okay.
Cable tie into the strip. It doesn't melt. Then you can iron it straight. You can iron it flat.
Really?
Yeah. I've tested it. It doesn't melt. And you get different widths and different sizes, which is wonderful.
I love playing with iron, so that would be a great tip to try.
A cable tie doesn't melt. So then I iron all my strips, and then you weave them. So you'll do your vertically, however amount you want, and whatever color order you'd like. I sew them down, and then I do my horizontally that go through it.
Ah, okay. Yes. So you've done one direction first and sewn it and locked it and then woven it on the other way. Well, that's very clever.
It helps.
But you're only sewing. I just need to make sure I get this straight in my head if I was listening, mm-hmm. you're only sewing the short ends because otherwise there's no weaving to be done.
Yes.
So don't sew those long ends. The weaving gets a lot harder.
Yes.
And then you were talking about, you know, cutting a lot of these little strips like this, and you have a way that gives you a little more control.
Yes.
What is that?
What I've found is when people cut 1-inch strip, especially 1-inch strips, it always goes skew. You end up with little diamonds in the end. So what I do is something I call reverse cutting. So say you want to cut 10 1-inch strips. You would cut 10-inch and then move your ruler to the left so you reverse to 9 inches. Then you cut again, reverse to 8 and so forth until you get to your 1-inch. Right. Especially quarter-inch strips. Because a quarter-inch is terrible to cut.
Yeah.
So if you've got 1-inch, then you'll get 4 quarter-inch strips out of your 1-inch.
So having the bulk of your fabric piece that you want to cut underneath your ruler gives you more control than trying to keep your ruler off to the side.
Yeah.
And it slides easily. So
it does. Yeah.
Very, very nice. Now, does your store or you personally have a blog or a website?
At the moment, I've only got Facebook.
Okay.
So we share photos and comment on each other's pictures. And we want to do a website, but I think we've been swamped. And there's so much we want to do, so we're just handling what's on the top of the pile.
Yeah.
But I think if we had more time, I would love to, like, do a blog. And, you know, maybe one day when I'm big, I'll have more time.
So. Yeah. Where can they check you out on Facebook? What's your...
It's Quilting Vilna Muna Tombi. What Muna Tombi is my sister calls me Muna, so that's my nickname, and my grandmother calls me Tombi. So that's where the Muna Tombi comes from. So it's Quilting Vilna Muna Tombi.
And Vilna is W-I-L-N-A?
Yes, that's right.
Right. And we'll put the rest on our...
put on my blog and over on American Patchwork and Quilting so people can come and see what you're doing.
Please. Yeah, they're welcome.
This has been... extraordinary. It's been lovely to meet you, and thank you so much for taking the time.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. It was wonderful.
You're incredibly gifted, and I can't wait for our readers to see what you're doing.
I'm very, very blessed to be able to do what I love. Every morning I wake up and think, I love going to work, I love the ladies, I love the fabric. So, I'm very, very privileged to be able to do it.
Well, thank you. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio from South Africa.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is! Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain, showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaHoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We are here still at the International Quilt Convention Africa, and I'm with Jennifer Keltner, and we've been having just an amazing time.
It's been awesome. It's so great to see such a diverse group of quilters come together, and differences in style, but we all have that passion for quilting, and I love that, and I love having the opportunity to chat now with Dina, who's got a look all her own.
Yeah, Dina Crane is from Kenya, and she is teaching here at the conference, and she is a art quilter, and her work is magnificent. Welcome to the show, Dina.
Thank you, Pat. It's a pleasure to be here.
It was so exciting to actually meet you after we've been emailing, and you were so kind to be sending us some information about coming to Africa, since it's our first time here, Jennifer.
It is.
Yep. So tell us just a little bit about the style of your particular quilts.
Well, I work in approximately three major series, one of which is based on symmetry analysis, and I call it symmetry sets, and that is comprised of five different sub-series.
Mm-hmm.
The second series is called built quilts, and these are improvisationally cut and pieced quilts. All the work is done without a pattern. Lots of fun. And the third series is something I call Spirit Works, because it comes from the soul. These are surrealistic quilts that I produce as whole cloth quilts. I stack up the three layers, sit down behind the sewing machine, and zone out a little bit and start sewing. And I have no idea what kind of design is going to appear. Suddenly, there's a line drawing in the fabric, and when I finish with that, I hand paint the pieces.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Now, you did a little bit of traditional patchwork in the beginning when you first learned to quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And
because I had to teach myself how to quilt.
Ah.
I was in Kenya. I had a handful of books and magazines. I didn't have quilt television or quilt radio. I didn't even have internet service at that time. So I had to teach myself the hard way, and I was teaching myself in order to be able to teach other people how to make patchwork quilts.
Because you actually had a business producing some finished goods for a short period of
time.
That's
correct, for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We were making patchwork quilts, which I was selling in Nairobi at various consignment shops, mm-hmm. until there was a change in the foreign exchange rates, and I suddenly was put out of business.
Yeah.
And you had a little bit of a background or a educational background in design, but we were talking earlier, and I'd like for you to share with our listeners about really sort of your coming to realize that you had this ability inside you despite what other people might have been telling you.
Well, I trained as a fashion designer at the University of Cincinnati many years ago. I had gone on and done studies in art anthropology as a graduate student, and also in textiles and consumer economics. So I had a background in design, in art. I'd also taken classes in painting and sculpture, a wide range of handicrafts, batik, jewelry making, basket making, weaving, many, many different. I was a sort of a jack of all trades and master of none until I hit patchwork quilting. So I had all that artistic background. I'd never really done anything major with it, but suddenly finding myself living in a very remote part of Africa and having carte blanche to do anything I wanted to with that knowledge, I suddenly looked back on that and said, wow, this is a wonderful opportunity. I can do great things with this. So I set up a small factory, and we went into production, making just a few designs that I had created and selling the quilts in Nairobi. Then suddenly that whole business went bust. So about a year later, I made the decision that I wanted to make quilts for myself. I didn't care whether they sold, whether they were used to wrap up garbage and burned in a fire. It made no difference to me. I needed to get that artistic stuff out of myself. So I was 50 years old before I could recognize that I was an artist.
You were telling us also about one of the types of your series where you used a lot of paper to help with your design.
Yes.
What is that about?
Well, that's a new series for mm-hmm. me, and I'm very mm-hmm. excited about it. I was on a teaching job, and my evenings were very quiet. no television, no company. So I bought a packet of construction paper and a pair of paper scissors.
Just like brown construction paper?
No, multicolored.
Oh, a pack of multicolored.
Stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yes. Be sure what we have to look for.
Multicolored construction paper and a roll of sellotape. So I would sit in my room in the evenings and I would play with this construction paper and just cut various things out of it and work with it and stick all the pieces back together with the sellotape. Suddenly I realized I had a basis for a whole new series of design work. I've taken that one step further. I've put aside the construction paper, and now I just cut and sew and cut and sew. So it's wonderful, and I'm very excited about the future of that series.
How could somebody who's never used like construction paper to do that? I mean, what thought process would they have to
become a child?
Yeah.
Become a child again. Take that construction paper the same way you would do it if you were 5 years old, and a pair of scissors, and start cutting and sticking things together. And you can overlap if you want to. It doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. I was butting edges together. That was fine. Yeah. No problem. Stick it together. See what you get. Then start visualizing that made up in fabric to a much larger scale.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think really comes through in the work of yours that I've seen is your confidence in the colors that you combine and just the beautiful shading of things. What would you say to quilters who struggle with having confidence in their own ability to put colors together?
Well, I have to qualify that by saying I have done some color physics studies, some serious mm-hmm. stuff. But my grandmother was one who put any color together with any other color. And I can remember growing up and seeing things that she had made, even patchwork quilts, although I was not a quilter at the time. And I would look at those things and I'd think, oh, what garish color combinations. I don't know how she can deal with this, you know, because I was developing a mindset that everything had to be beige and taupe. And, you know, I was thinking interior design rather than the joy of the spirit and working with color. My advice to people today is throw aside the guidebooks, set aside the rules, reach for the stuff that you like, reach for the stuff that you love, and put it together. You won't go wrong. Mm-hmm. You won't.
That's great advice.
Thank you.
You know, you're living in Kenya, and a lot of people may feel like, oh, you know, you can't get fabric, or, you know, what is it like to live there? What kind of stores do you have? Tell us a little bit about what your sort of community and ability to find your medium is.
Well, you know, when I first came to Kenya 22 years ago, it was to teach for 2 years. So
Dina.
At that time, I didn't even know I would end up making quilts. Mm. I was happy to shop the local market for clothing materials for myself, but I wasn't making quilts yet. When I started quilt making, I had a major problem. I like solid color fabrics, and I could not find solid color cotton fabrics that were suitable for quilt making. Mm-hmm. So that was a major problem. So I went through a phase where I was dyeing every piece of white cotton I could get my hands on. And I did take some classes in surface design. I knew batik. I knew stamping and printing. So I learned and I knew and I drew from past experience. In the end, I got tired of doing all of that. It was a lot of work to do all that dyeing. And it was at about that time that I discovered Kenya has fabulous resources for silk.
Ah.
Because Kenya's connections with India are still very, very strong. Mm-hmm. So we get all the lovely silk dupionis, the charmeuse, all sorts of silks coming in from India and from the Orient. And the prices were not bad. When I first started, they've gone up since then, of course. But I loved the rich colors that I could find. And so I still work with a lot of solid color fabrics. In more recently, I have started dyeing and stamping and printing my own silks as well, which mm-hmm. gives them a really unique character.
That would be so fun.
Yeah, it yeah. is. I splurged today and bought an airbrush.
Oh, wow.
I'm
good
so
for you.
Excited.
Good for you.
Can't wait to see what comes next.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now, you are also an educator on, like, what, university,
yes.
And you are very active, your own blog, you write a lot, and you're in your guild's blog. So we were talking about challenges, and you said one of your biggest challenges is...
pushing back from the computer. It is difficult because handling email, coping with Facebook, teaching online, writing articles for magazines, trying to write ebooks because it's hard to get published from Kenya, you know, in the American or the European market. And I've got the computer skills to do it, mm-hmm. so why not write my own ebooks? Mm-hmm. That's coming, but it just, it eats up huge blocks of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult. I sometimes try to say, okay, I'll be on the computer this morning and then this afternoon I'll quilt.
Right.
And then I find this morning runs on and on and on, and then the afternoon is gone, and I still am not behind the sewing machine. So then the next day I'll say, okay, this morning I'm quilting. Forget the computer. I'll get to that later. It's a real juggling act.
Yeah. Sometimes
and I don't
you have
any
to put
really
it...
good advice for anybody on that, except to disconnect
Turn
their
it
internet
off.
Connection.
Turn it off.
Right. I think otherwise sometimes, I know it's true for a lot of my friends who are quilters as well, you can get so busy in your groups talking about quilting and engaging with other quilters online that you forget to make time to actually do the quilting. And that
right.
is, for many of us, what feeds the passion and the soul.
That's why I try to keep the social part of it down to a minimum. I simply don't have time to do that.
Yeah.
If people email me or they post a comment on my blog, I'm happy to respond.
Right.
And I try to do that for everybody. But I can't just get into a chat room someplace. And I can't do that.
Well, tell us what your blog is, Dina, so we can come visit you.
It's Dina Crane, artist teacher in Kenya.
And that's also listed on American Patchwork and Quilting radio page at allpeoplequilt.com. So, Dina, this has been wonderful to experience, you know, your work here in Africa and to get a chance to talk to you in person.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure to be with you.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us.
You're
We're
most
gonna
welcome.
Take a little break, and then we'll be back right after this to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests, and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos. We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs, and baby's going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting, and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am still here at the International Quilt Convention Africa. The first one is absolutely fabulous. And we are so excited to be able to talk to teachers from Africa, and South Africa in particular, who are doing things with their local students and bringing new ideas. And today I have Wendy Burtonshaw and Susan Borman, who have a company called Class for Africa. And so, you know, Susan, why don't you tell me a little bit about what your style and your business is, your quilt business?
Our quilt business is basically to start a new generation of quilters for Africa, because we do the traditional work, but we love the colors, the ground colors, the sunset colors, the animal colors in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to actually develop our own way of quilting. Although we do the traditional stuff, but we always try and change it around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to also keep building and keep changing and keep getting new classes. And but we definitely have in Africa a new sort of a color and a new way of quilting.
Yeah. And you like to team teach. So, Wendy, you know, tell me a little bit about that, because, you know, a lot of people teach by themselves, but the two of you, it's great. There's two in the classroom.
I think the person who gains in a partnership is the student.
Yeah.
Because the student is also getting two different opinions and two different ways of doing a technique. And isn't it amazing how sometimes you click with one person and somebody doesn't? So the students have the ability to share ideas with two different opinions, and also I think they get a lot more attention, individual attention.
Individual attention. And you're developing classes based on what you're seeing out there in the quilt world, your research and looking at things. Tell me about one of your newest classes, because I just love the name, Cat's Pajama. Susan?
Yes, this is such an exciting class, because that actually came about because the quilters all seem to be cat lovers. I don't know if you've ever come across
yes.
that.
Yes.
They're all cat lovers. Yeah. And then they always say, when you're doing a cat class, when you're doing a cat class. And we didn't want to just do a regular applique because it's sort of a little bit of, you know, boring by this time. So we recently got a new consignment of beautiful colored batik fabrics into the shop where we work regularly. And we then decided to do the batiks, yeah, the cats in the batiks. And we just came up with the name, the Cat's Pajamas. And it's basically a mosaic type of technique where you applique the pieces of the cat onto your black fabric. And you then turn over the raw edge of the cat's outline and you put that onto a background. And that has really taken off. That must be one of our most enjoyable classes that we've had up to now.
Very, very fun. What area do you live in and teach in, Wendy?
At the moment, you're interviewing us from the center of the hub of industry in South Africa, which is Johannesburg, and we live on what we would call the west side of the town, and at the moment, this convention is being held on the east side of town. But that doesn't prevent us as quilt teachers from traveling.
Right.
Susan and I are very happy to pack our bags, say goodbye, and wave to the family and say we're off quilting for a week, wherever we go, whether it be 1,000 miles away or 500 miles away.
Mm-hmm. So you regularly are going around to, is it mostly quilt stores that you'll be hired to go and teach in local stores?
Yes. Or quilting groups that have been developed. Often the stores have their individual groups that they have that meet on certain days of the week. And then provided there's sufficient students, we will then travel to that group on a regular basis and run one of our courses.
Do you have like a particular? Do you have a challenge being here at all? Do you feel to find out what's new?
Yes.
You mean at the convention,
or no? Just in general, in quilting general, when you're trying to develop, you know, what's new out there that you can bring to your students?
Oh,
you know?
Definitely. Yes, we take classes generally and regularly because you can't stagnate. You have to keep ahead, one step ahead, and visit art galleries. Wendy normally goes. She's also got a textile art group that she belongs to. So just by going, you do just a little spark in your brain, and then you find something new. So you have to be on the hunt all the time to be able to grow. And what's interesting that I would love to mention is that in South Africa, we are first-generation quilters, whereas Americans are fifth-generation quilters.
Yeah.
And I think personally that we have come such a long way in a very short time, mm-hmm. and for us to be able to compete out there from a first-generation quilting point of view.
So what did you think about putting together the exhibits here to be able to bring the quilts in? Was that exciting to know that it was going to happen?
I think it's wonderful. And the class that we are actually teaching at this convention is a very bright and vivid design, and it's free motion cutting as opposed to using the traditional rulers or your rotary cutter. In our class, we don't allow the students to use a ruler because we teach them free form or free motion and free design. So it really takes them out of their box.
Mm-hmm. What are your local quilters leaning a little bit more towards traditional in your circles, or you know, it's a mix-up of styles?
I think we're pretty much a 50-50 mix, I would imagine.
You always get your traditionalists.
Yes.
That
they love it.
They're in the little soft pinks and greens, and then you get your wow people that will just go all these beautiful bright colors.
Right, right. Yeah.
Quilts have moved from the bed to the wall a lot, as we all know. So we even do commissions. We have people who come in and they'd like a commission for a foyer for a business, or a commission for a B&B or something, and then we will sit and discuss ideas with them and come up with perhaps with a local landscape or perhaps with using the name of the industry and involving it like that.
Do your students actually like go out maybe on the internet and find some technique, and then they come to you and say, Susan, I want to learn how to do this, and then you set up a workshop to teach them?
Yes, very often, and that's very often how a new idea starts off. Somebody comes and says, have you ever done a binding this way? We say, no, but we'll look into it, and then we realize, okay, there's this big gap, and there's this need, and then we'll develop a class by it. Yes, yes.
Wonderful.
It must be a lot of fun.
It is tremendous, and we also like to put, if I may use an African spin, because all the quilting information that we originally worked with all came from America. And America was our biggest influence, and we were very lucky to be able to get such quality work and quality products and quality books from America. But I think like anybody in any part of the world, you like to put a little bit of your own national spin on the subject you're dealing with.
And you're actually designing a whole Christmas quilt that's depicting Christmas in South Africa. Tell me about that. It sounds so exciting.
Well, it just sort of came out of an idea that we do have very little snow in Africa. I don't know if you realize that, but for us to have snow is like once in 10 years.
Yeah.
And if it is, then it's normally about 1 inch.
Yeah.
And the school takes off.
Yeah.
So we decided we'd do a theme which is Christmas in Africa, and instead of using the traditional pine tree, we'd use a tree that is very familiar to all of us in the landscapes, which is the baobab tree. And we would still hang gifts from it, and we would also perhaps have, say, some African animals or little creatures or little critters, I think you call them, come and visit you under your famous baobab Christmas tree.
What does that tree look like?
It's a very fat tree. It's got no waistline, and it's got these spiky, and it actually looks as if you've taken a normal tree, pulled it, ripped it out of the ground, and turned it upside down, because the branches look like all the roots. It's very fine.
Oh.
And it's a very, very unique and recognizable shape. We'll make sure you see one before you leave.
Yes, I'm going out on Monday, so I'm very excited. So I'll be going out on tour on Monday, so I will request to see one of those.
I'm not sure you'll find one in Johannesburg.
Oh, darn.
But you'll maybe pick up on, if you see these stalls of the locals who make this wire. I don't know if you've ever seen this craft that they build things with wire and beads. You'll maybe find a wire baobab tree that's made with wire and beads. So maybe that will be.
You can take that back to America and have your African Christmas tree.
There you go. I might just have to do that. Now, another thing you told me about was that you recently did some shows that are on your local TV, like a DIY channel here.
It was exactly like that. The show was called Show Me How. And we actually started with traditional English piecing, because we've never had the opportunity to do any quilting on a TV channel. You're very spoiled in America. You have this wonderful base that you have. Here, if people look at us, even when we came to the center, the gentleman who took our parking ticket asked me, Madam, what is a quilt?
Oh, yeah.
And I said to him, it's similar to a blanket, but much nicer. And that's how we develop.
So how many shows did you record? A few?
No, just the one.
We
did English piecing, and then we did some stained glass work.
Oh, okay.
And we've had a very positive feedback.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's
this
very
exciting.
This is
also not just a quilt show. They have other crafts, paper crafts and knitting and crocheting and
whatever. I think there are something like 5,000 quilters in South Africa, and I think you've got 5 million in America.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with a totally different number of people.
Yeah. Well, this has been just really, really wonderful to actually to get a chance to meet you. You're teaching here. This must be so exciting for you as well, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, one day we might be invited to America.
Well, there you go. Here we go. And we're going to give them your website so they can contact you at...
Can you imagine?
Yes. What is their website again? It is QuiltingAfrica, one word.
Yes.
QuiltingAfrica.com. And you can meet Wendy Burntinshaw and Susan Borman for Class for Africa and take a look at their work, maybe invite them to come and visit
you. That is absolutely our ambition. We are working towards that.
Well, I am sure something will come up one day. And I'm
Pat, that's wonderful.
I'm so pleased to have you on our show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and we welcome you to Africa. We love it when you come and visit us and see our side of the world.
It's been gorgeous. We're going to take a little break, folks, and when we come back, we have another guest.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with a spin, Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, here at the International Quilt Conference Africa with Jennifer Keltner. And we have interviewed designers and teachers who are South African. And we've just spent 3 really fabulous days, Jennifer, talking to shop owners and quilters from all over Africa. It's been amazing.
It has been amazing. And I think, Pat, what strikes me the most is I was really trying to get a feel. I didn't know a lot about South African quilters before I came here. And it's been fascinating to understand what some of our similarities are and what some of our differences are.
Yeah, I had the same thing. It's like I was most excited to meet the quilters, you know, to meet the people who are making quilts for fun and for a living and see, you know, how do they do that? Do they do it like me? Do they think like me? Do they have the same things I have? And I've just been really, I ask a lot of questions.
Right. Same here. And what I found, the number one thing for me was I was so struck by their passion for quilting. And I would say it rivals Americans' passions for quilting. And even though we have a longer history maybe in the U.S. of quilting, that passion for wanting to learn more and do more and just explore everything there is to do with quilting is burning just as brightly here in South Africa as it does in the U.S.
Yeah, it's true. Like when we talked to Dina, who said that she, you know, Dina Crane just found this passion and just went with it. And people, every single person, they just love patchwork or love art quilts, applique. It's all there for them to feed their soul.
Right. And I think it was really cool talking to Wilna, who's in her 20s and mm-hmm. is just so on fire and so excited about teaching and doing such a great job of it. The other thing I found in talking with quilters was, much like the U.S. market, they're sort of evenly split between people who are really into traditional patchwork
and the patterns that sort of have a history or blocks that have been around for a long time, and those that are starting to explore art quilting. Now, I felt like for some of those quilters, their reasons were maybe a little different than U.S. quilters, and one of those big reasons was they don't have nearly the access to supplies that we have.
Right. I think from the art quilting standpoint, they could use different types of fibers. You know, a lot of times they don't have to use quilt shell quality. They can use decorator or their African fabrics. And then, they could put in other textures. You saw a lot of textures.
Absolutely. A ton of texture. A lot of interesting fiber use. And I was impressed in the quilt show exhibit about the amount of experimentation with different techniques and some things that maybe I had seen before at U.S. quilt market shows or festivals. But really some out there techniques, some quilts without binding, some manipulated fabric, a lot of dimension in the quilts that were on display here, and a very impressive, willingness to experiment with different techniques.
You know, when I talked to Wendy and Susan, they also said that one of their goals as teachers was to develop, you know, others' techniques, is to find those things like the mosaics they told me about, the mosaic type of quilts. And that was building texture. It was a little less traditional type of applique. And people are really interested in experimenting. You saw a lot of that.
Absolutely. And embroidery is big here. I think part of that is due to the Australian influence. I had several quilters share with me that they felt like the Australian influence in quilt making had really come to Africa before a U.S. influence. And although many of their supplies that they have and fabrics that they have to choose from are made in America and shipped over, that the influence for some of the intricate handwork, beading added to some of their quilt tops and things like that was really an Australian influence.
And you could see it in the exhibit with the stitching. There was a lot of hand stitching, a lot of interesting hand quilting on some of the exhibit pieces, and sort of primitive applique.
Right, right. Now, the one thing I will come away from this experience in South Africa with is a greater appreciation for the really embarrassment of riches we have in terms of quilting supplies in the U.S. And I think I knew it, but I wasn't really prepared to face it in the way that I was in talking to South African quilters. And I sometimes will run out of fusible at 12 o'clock at night and complain because I have to wait until 10 the next morning till my quilt shop opens to get some more. But access to supplies here in South Africa is not what it is in the United States. And quilters really do have to make do with far less choices and options and places to go find it.
And they're very conservative with their fabric. You know, they want to be sure they don't waste anything. And they will use their products very, you know, carefully so that everything was butted up next to each other and they didn't have to have really anything thrown away. Plus, just like a lot of places in the U.S. now, they're taking the little bitty scraps you can't do and they're making the dog beds and giving them to the shelters, which I was really excited to hear because we're doing that everywhere now.
Right. Still a strong influence in charity. They were very excited about the Million Pillowcases challenge that American Patchwork and Quilting has done and willing to get on board and to do the same. And I think it was just really neat to meet people from all over Africa. Everybody at this convention wasn't just from South Africa. They came from Kenya and Botswana and Nairobi and other places. So that was really a neat thing to see people coming together. And I guess the most amazing thing that I'll leave with feeling from this convention is how much quilters across the world are the same and how much alike we are more than our differences. And I think the internet has made the world a much smaller place. We have so many more abilities to look at what other quilters are doing. There were French quilters here. Part of the exhibit was from France as well. And it was so interesting to see the exhibits and the people and to realize that even though we are thousands and thousands of miles apart, we still share a passion for the ability to create things with our hands that are meaningful to us and to our families and to others. And it's a universal language. I mean, I could just pick up and start talking with quilters here, just right, like I could in the U.S., and feel like I had made new friends in an instant.
Yeah, and we learned new words, too.
We did.
Yeah, because they speak a lot of Afrikaans, and they were very, you know, they would express themselves, they would get very excited, and just explaining what they like, you know, what they thought about the classes, too. I mean, all the teachers, everybody said they came in, and they were so enthusiastic to be learning from a new set of people.
Right. So my big Afrikaans word I learned was thank you. And the best way to introduce that to the English audience, they said, was to say buy a donkey. So yeah. They say it with a much more interesting
donkey.
Flair. Donkey.
Yeah.
Buy a donkey. But that means thank you in Afrikaans. And I guess I would say buy a donkey to the South Africans who hosted this conference here and made it such an interesting event for us. And I would just encourage quilters around the world. I mean, it's a dream to be able to go somewhere to a big international conference. But if you ever have the opportunity to travel and to see quilt shows and quilt conventions in other parts of the world, just know that you could walk in the door and be among friends instantly.
Yeah, that was really amazing because there were vendors, of course,
right.
And we both experienced going into vendor booths and, you know, being welcomed right away and having that same language and seeing things that we both were scouting for more local type things to take back for our personal collection.
Right,
you know,
doing our research, as I
yes,
like to call
yes,
it.
Yes, we had to do some research, but we also saw things that were done for charity. We found fabrics. African fabrics, and also like applique patterns that were being developed here. So the whole spectrum was out there, plus what, yarn and buttons
right,
and
lots
beads.
Of embellishing items, and again, just things in the handwork field. Lots of knitters here, I mean, mm-hmm. equally as popular as it is in the U.S., I think, and quilters, quilters of all ages. I mean, there's not a long history of quilting in South Africa, but there is an appreciation for the history of quilting, mm-hmm. and they want to learn more, and they're reading a lot of American books on the subject and trying to understand, you know, the history of some of the patterns and why people made them and all of that, which I think is a neat thing for us as Americans to know that people are interested in the history that we're sharing.
You know, I had one of my students who had a large collection of books. And so when we got talking about books in class, and she was offering to lend her books to one of the other ladies. You know, she says, well, I have several books on crazy quilts because I, you know, that was a big fad for a while. So she goes, I'll lend you the book. So just like at home, somebody's like, well, you want to borrow the books?
Right.
Same language, bring them back, you know, that'd be great.
And I think back on that subject of supplies, I mean, we talked about there are quilt guilds here and people get together and the South African Quilt Guild was represented in one of the vendor booths.
Yeah.
As well. But you also had an interesting conversation about couriers that, where we think of people, you know, we go to shows or things in our communities that isn't always available to South Africans.
Right. The one lady was concerned because at the show she could just walk over to the vendors and buy something, but there was some product that she's like, oh, I may not be able, you know, I can't get it easily. So another lady who works in a quilt shop said, well, you know, we have the courier, and the courier can just bring it down to you the next time they come, which was pretty much, I asked them, well, how does that work? She would bring things to the guild meeting. So someone from another area, for whatever reason, would attend those guild meetings, and then she came with packages. So they got their stuff.
It's incredible.
Yeah, they made it work. She goes, we'll have a plan. They used that a lot. They said, we'll have a plan.
Right. And I found a very friendly community here in South Africa. Everyone always asking if we were enjoying ourselves, if we'd been to South Africa before, if we, you know, enjoyed the countryside and all of the other things there are to offer. It's an incredible part of the world that I've not experienced before, and I know it's your first time here too.
It is, and I just loved it, and I want to thank Leon and Owen and Sharon for organizing it, for the convention, and having us all here. It was great.
It was a terrific event. I believe they're going to be hosting it again in September, early September of 2013, and Ricky Timms is going to be their special guest for next year, so I'm sure that will be equally exciting.
That's right. So hopefully some people will visit. So I've had a great time.
Thanks, Pat.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week with a whole new set of shows.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.